what I need is I'm telling a story today, and I really need some help from all the children. So if you guys would come forward, and when you come forward, there's an insert in the bulletin that looks like this. I need you to bring that up with you when you come up, all right? If everybody doesn't have one, that's okay. But come on up. You're going to help me out this morning. And we're going to do kind of a little treasure slash scavenger hunt, okay? So come on right up here. Sit right down. And I'm going to talk to you and teach you how to read a map this morning, all right? How many? Well, we got lots of kids. Okay. All right. Come on. That's all right. Come on right up. If you don't have a map, that's okay. Come on up. Come on.
Don't dilly-dally. I was asked at home if the preacher was going to run over, and I said, I don't know. We'll try not to do that. All right. Very good. Very good. Oh, there we go. Oh, Britney Spears thing isn't working. Okay. So open your map up, guys, so you can see it. All right. Do you have any idea what this is a map of? Does it look familiar? What do you think? It's a map of right here. It's a map of this room. Yes. Yes. All right. So the first thing you do with a map, and a lot of times on maps there's a north, a south, east, and west somewhere on here, and that tells you what direction the map is. Okay. Well, these don't have that because I forgot to put them on there. But it's okay because it's not important today. We're going to do what's called orienteering, and you almost don't need a compass when you do that. Because you can see that this is a map of this room. You can turn the map so it's facing the way the room is facing. You're right on the stage. So you have to picture this as if you were a little bird sitting way up there looking straight down. And if you look straight down at the map, it's called a bird's eye view. All right, so everybody turn the map how you think it might be. So if the stage is back here, what are you looking at back there? Just the blank wall, the seats, yeah? And there's a little brown box up there, kind of. That's the sound booth up there. Yeah, all right. So everybody turn your map so it looks like this, okay? Turn it like this, and the stage is back here, and that's where you're sitting. I was going to draw a bunch of little people, but I didn't know how many to draw. It's the stage, yeah. That little box, that's the sound booth back there. Okay, now you'll notice on here there's some colored dots all around the map. You see there's a yellow dot over here, and there's a green dot down here. Yep, that's the stage. There's a bluish slash purple one over here. Okay, my map, because I have the master map, has the legend. And the legend tells you what the colors mean. So here on this one, purple, it's a backpack. Green says sleeping bag. Yellow says the camelback. So I'm going to be telling a story today about a hike, and I need you to use the map and orient it as you go and get the stuff that's going to help me tell the story. So the first thing I have is purple, and it says a backpack, rain jacket, hat, and gloves, and a buff, too. I like the buff. So we're going to go and find that and gather all the stuff for my story. So we're not going yet. So it's really easy to like, yeah, I can look over and see where it is. So as you're orienteering, we know right now the map's facing this way, right? So what direction? This way, sorry. Yep. What direction? Where is that purple? So it's over there. So if I want to go that way and I'm holding the map in front of me so I know where to go, do I turn the map like this? Is the map facing? Right. You turn the map as you walk, so you're still facing the right way, and I can look and I see, oh, the stairs are over here, the pews are right here. Well, what if I wanted to go this way? Which way would I turn the map? You would turn it the other way. So that's called orienteering because you orient the map as you're going, okay? So we're all going to go together. There's really a lot of us. Let's try to stay together and not get lost. We got to pretend we're in the woods, okay? And we don't want to get lost on our way to get the backpack. So we're not going to cut across the stage. We're going to come this way. We're going to orient our map. So everybody stand up. Okay. And orient your map. So hold this. Everybody turn their map the right way. Yeah. Okay. Follow them. And there is a backpack. A rain jacket. Did you turn your map again when you made the corner over here? Yep. Okay. You got it? Okay. So grab the stuff. There's a backpack, a rain jacket, a hat, some gloves, and a buff. All right. Bring it all this way. Thank you, sir. Okay. Okay. Not everything up there. Go ahead and put it on top of the stage for me. Thank you. Yeah, that's somebody else's coat. We'll leave that there. And that's a guitar case. We'll leave that. Okay, come on back. Come on back. Yeah, we're going to leave the books. Come on back. We'll go back to the front. Okay, this time maybe we won't take as many of you. I'll take that jacket. Thank you, sir. Okay, everybody, come on back. Come on back this way. Here we go. This is the way we're going. Yeah, I usually send the 3 and 4-year-olds downstairs. I don't work with them. Okay, come on. Here we go. Right back up here. All right. All right, so now we're going to find the next stuff on our map, and maybe this time it's green, and we won't take as many people this time. Let's take this half right here. So you guys, you four, okay, you four are going to go find me the sleeping bag, the mat liner, and the bivy sack. So first come over here. We're going to start right from here, okay? Let's make sure our map is facing the right way. Which way should our map be facing? Where's the stage? That way, yep, that's right. The stage is behind us. And if we want to go toward the green, how would we turn the map so we're facing the green? So if we're facing that way, the stage should be over here, right? So turn your map like that, and you face that way. Now head toward the green dot and see if you can find me a sleeping bag, a mat, a liner, and a bivy sack. And you might not even know what those things are, but they're over there. Unless somebody grabbed them when we were doing worship and went, oh, I could use that. Hopefully they're still all here. All right. Very good, very good. Bring them all right back over here, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we can just put them right up there. Okay, so now we're going to take, you guys are going to go find some. Yes, you're included in there right here. All right, so our next dot is yellow. You'll be next. So you four, come on down. Come on right down here. So the yellow dot is the camelback, a collapsible bottle, and a SteriPen. Any idea what a SteriPen does?
No.
No, it sterilizes water. That's why it's called SteriPen. So turn your map as you're going. Yeah. You're facing the right way. Okay. Follow her. We think she knows where she's going. Of course, if you don't pay attention to the map, no, we don't have to run. Or we could. Then we'll get out on time. You think you found it? You got the right stuff? Pass it out. Everybody grab something and come on back. Okay. You guys right here are going to go find me the orange dot with the bear. You can be with them, and you can find the bear bag and the line. So,
I don't know what a bear bag is.
Well, why do you think you would use a, if you're hiking in the woods, what would a bear bag do? Would it be like for the bear to have all the stuff he needs to live?
Yes.
No, no. You could put a bear inside it. It'd have to be a really big bag. That would be hard to carry. The bear bag protects the food so the bear can't get it. It's a really strong bag. In fact, you can grab a hold of it and try to rip it with your teeth if you want. See if you can get it open. So, orange dot. You guys come out here. We'll start right here. Do you see the orange dot on the map? It's kind of a really dark orange. Okay, do you have your map oriented the right way? Turn it as you're going. When you get to the corner, you have to turn the map again, right? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going. You're going to wait. Or you're going to go? You're going to go? Okay, you go with them. It's good. And what do we have left? Brown. Who hasn't gone yet? You? Okay, you guys right here. Come on. All right. You didn't? Okay, so we're going to go. So hold on right here. Hold on. You got to look at your map so you know where you're going. Or you could just go. All right, come on over here. So you're going to find me. I have a bottle of fuel, a stove, and a cup, and a spork. That's so that I can eat. That's the bear bag. Okay, so brown. So where's your brown dot on your map? Do you see the brown dot? Right there. Now, is your map facing the right way? Do you think you know where the brown dot is?
There.
That way? Yeah, that way. And then when you get, so you're going to go here. When you get to here, you got to turn again, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, go ahead. Stay together so you don't get lost. It's easier to find a group than one person. You almost there? Think you see it? You're going to, okay, well, hurry up because they're almost done. Okay, the last thing on the list is the emergency medical kit. Why do you think I might need a medical kit?
And it's the brown dot.
It is the brown dot. Why do you think I would need that?
We already found it.
Okay, bring it back. Well, in case I get cut or something, right? I would need a Band-Aid or something.
We already found it.
And a headlamp and my personal bag, which, oh, there's the stove. Okay, thank you. All right. That's the stove, and it goes on the bottle of fuel. Did somebody bring the bottle of fuel? Is there a little bottle over there?
He did. Right here.
Right here. There we go. See, this screws on to Okay, let's put that down. This screws onto there, and then the pot sits on top, and I can cook my supper, and I can eat it with that spork. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, last group. Who's going to get the black? Okay, you and whoever hasn't gone, go ahead. You know what? Whoever wants to go, you guys just go. Just go. Just find that black dot and bring me everything back that's by the black dot. Don't run, at least not fast. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Okay. All right, bring it all back. Bring it all back. Yep. Don't, that's just got my toothbrush and chapstick, all that fun stuff. Thank you, sir. Yeah, let's not open the knife. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I did have second thoughts when I brought that. Thank you. We're not in a school zone, right? So we're safe. TLC count as a school zone? Okay. All right, very good, guys. So let me ask you a question. Okay, yeah, have a seat. So let me ask you a question. We use the map because it helped us find our way to get the stuff we wanted. It told us which direction to go, right? So we used the map. We knew which way to go. Is there anything else in that could help you in life tell you which way to go? Jesus can tell you which way to go. And how do we find out God? How do we find out what God wants to tell us? Where do we find that?
In the Bible.
So the Bible tells us. So the Bible's kind of like a map. When we want to know where to go or what to do or how to make a decision or to do the right thing, we go to the Bible. When I'm out hiking in the woods, I use a map. So the Bible's kind of like a map, a roadmap for life, and it tells us which way we need to go and how to do the right things, right? Okay, you guys have been most helpful. Thank you very much. You can go ahead back and take a seat. Give them a big hand, please. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, we're all set. Go ahead. Go ahead, sweetie. Head back. Okay, he's taking the long way around. Yep. All right. Well, the plan was to stuff everything in the backpack as they went, but that didn't quite work out as we were going here, but... So, okay, just pretend everything's in the pack. All right. And if you were paying attention, yes, I did have this green shirt on last week because I thought I was doing this last week and that it didn't end up working. I wasn't trying to be noticed. In fact, that's the last thing I want is to be noticed, frankly. Okay, I must have been skinnier last time I wore this. Okay. Whew. I'm in the off season right now, so it's... I think that's what it is. This is cords holding everything out. All right, let's make sure I have everything. Okay, so a hiker's tale. Thanks to Ruth and many people here at church that helped at the last minute pull this together with the tech stuff because I am a Luddite. Tech stuff does not work for me. We're going to try it. We'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, I was going to put the camel back in. That's fine. Okay. That's why I wanted to pack everything because I wanted the camel back so I wouldn't have to keep walking to the table and get the drink. So, exactly. So, really the whole point of this is not about my hiking trip. And yet, it's basically a story about my hiking trip. So, it's kind of an allegory or an analogy or an analgesic or one of those A words or something that, so you guys will figure it out as we get going. So, this is my hiking rights. Some intro. I am nobody special. I am nothing special. I am only saved by the grace of God. I am the wretch that the song refers to. There is no doubt about that. Not the wrench or the wench, which I had a picture of, but my daughter wouldn't put it into PowerPoint. She said it's Family Sunday and it wasn't going to work, so I guess that's all right. And I did not want to do this. I was in the woods and this came to me. I thought, oh, this is really good stuff for me. This is great. And then, not in the audible voice like in Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments, but in a voice that I did hear, God said, no, you need to share this. No. Don't I get in the car, and I'm on the way home driving, listening to the radio on scan, because that's how ADD I am, and it works really well. And don't I hear Chuck Swindoll start talking about Jonah and Nineveh? Wrong way. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go to Nineveh, because that's modern-day Iraq, and I definitely don't want to be stuck in the belly of a whale. So... I guess I'll have to do that. So I shared with the pastor, and it got put off and got put off. And I was, I am out great. I don't have to do this. And didn't he go ahead and see me and say, yeah, you're going to do this. So right off the bat, I do want to have a disclaimer. The views that I'm about to share are not that of the people here. So this is all on me. Yeah, oh, it keeps going and going and going. She couldn't make the print any smaller to make it fit in there. So I'm a radio guy. You've heard me mention once or twice before that I do love Adventures in Odyssey. I love to use my imagination and just listen to the radio. I can literally see the story right in my own head. When I was a kid, I had an 11 o'clock curfew, and I used to leave town at 3 minutes before 11 and ride my bike home as fast as I could and then sit down in the chair, huffing and puffing and trying to slow my heartbeat so I could actually listen to the science fiction show that came on. I don't know what it was. And it'll actually catch me. Yes, Cliff, I'm sorry to admit this, but I do turn on NPR every now and again so I can listen to old-time radio. Again, these are not the views of the church. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So we're going to use our imagination today, and those of you kids that know about Adventures in Odyssey, what's the button that they push to start the adventure? Anybody remember what color the button is? No? Well, it's a red button. If you listen to Adventures in Odyssey, they start with a red button. It's not this one, and it's not that one either. Oh, wait a minute. All right, better go back to that. Sorry, it's not this one. Okay. It's the imagination station button. So we're going to put on our thinking caps. We're going to, don't close your eyes because then I'll think you're sleeping, but try to use your imagination with your eyes open, and we're going to take off on a story. So I go hiking generally in New York State. I go up to the Adirondacks, and I go to the high peaks. There are 46 high peaks. There are 46 of them because they're above 4,000 feet. Technically, they're not, but when they were first surveyed, Verplank Colvin thought they were all above 46, and now there's a club, and you go climb all the peaks, and you can do them in the summer or the winter, and when you're done, you get this cool patch. You twist your ankle, you sweat, you get beat up and swatted by bugs, or ate up by bugs and swatting them, and in the end you get this patch. Doesn't that seem like it's all worth it? Woohoo, yeah, exactly. So on June 15th, which is my birthday, in 2010, my brother-in-law, who's my hiking partner, went and took us and we did our 46th mountain, and we finished it. But I don't have the patch yet. Why don't I have the patch, you might ask? You've trained them well, thank you. Thank you. Because we did three of them in the winter. Now, you don't have to do them all in the summer in order to get the patch, but there's a winter patch and a summer patch. Well, ergo then, you should do them in the winter and you should do them in the summer. That didn't stop my brother-in-law. He sent his in. He's already numbered 9,000-something-something 46er. I haven't done that yet. So for a number of years, I planned this trip where I could finish my last three mountains. Go back one. The three that I'm missing are two of them right there, and then one way over here. Those are the ones we did in the winter. And I thought, with my 25-year-old mind and my 46-year-old body, that I'll just do this big loop, and I'll start from here, and I'll come around, and I'll figure eight, and back around in here, and back, and that didn't work. So let's see here. Okay, so here's we are. This is a map. This is a topographical map. It's a map of the Adirondacks and the high peaks. So when I said the figure eight, didn't mean to do that. Here we go. Here is the Adirondack Lodge. That's where you go and park and hang out. The black line is the trail. The blue one was somebody else's path that I couldn't get rid of. But here are the two mountains I haven't done. We have maintained trails, and we have what they call herd paths in the Adirondacks. Maintained trail, the DEC takes care of them, keeps them clean, there's markers, you know where you're going. The herd path is an unmarked trail, but you really can't get lost because the woods are so thick, there's just a little trail like this, and you're stuck walking through it. And you really can't. Up near the top, people kind of diverge, and it gets lost, but a few years back, the 46ers went up, and they blocked off all the trails, so it's pretty easy just to get up there and get back. But it's not maintained, so it's slippery, and there's rocks and roots and blah, 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 but it's easy to do. So the dotted line is the unmaintained trail, and then the, of course, you can't really see from back there, the heavier, thicker lines are the ones that are maintained. So I thought, well, I'd never done McNaughton. It's not a 46er, but it's actually higher than the last three mountains that are considered 46ers. So I thought, all right, I'll do this figure eight, and I'll start from here and follow the trail. I'll do McNaughton, and I'll go down the backside where there is no trail, and I'll go up over here and then around to the one that I'm missing, and then back here, and I'll come up where there is no trail and come back down the other side. Sounded great, great plan, bushwhacking, it's going to be fun. my brother-in-law said, oh, I don't have to do that. I've already got all my 46 mounds. So I was stuck on my own in doing that out. So we need some terms that are going to help as we go through the story real quickly. So a ravine. A ravine is a deep, narrow gorge with steep sides. You generally don't want to be hiking through the ravine for the most part. A col is similar to what they call a saddle. There'll be a peak here, and a low spot in between them. Not necessarily a big, deep valley, but they're kind of close together, and they just go down and come back up again. You look off in the distance, you can kind of see the two and the little saddle or a col there. The next one is bushwhack. That's what you end up doing when there is no trail. And hunters, you know, you'll be in the middle of the woods, and it'll be really thick, and you'll see this spot that looks like a little clear. Most of the time, that just means the trees fell down and the shrub grew, and so you think you're going where the clear spot is, and you end up stumbling over and stepping over blow down and prickers and everything else, so it's not always the best way. Generally, bushwhacking, you're going through stuff like this and pushing it out of the way. And I didn't touch that, didn't I? So bushwhacking's not always the best thing to do, but sometimes it's the way to get where to go. And then lastly, cliffs are pretty much self-explanatory, very steep stuff. Rock face, you don't want to go there, you want to try to avoid them. On the topo map, the darker, browner spots are where it's steeper. Also, if you know about a topo map, the closer together the lines are, the steeper it is. And as they're farther apart, it means it's a little more gentle. So when you're walking, you're trying to find a spot that's not on the trail, you want to go ahead and find the stuff that's a little farther apart and a little more gentle. All right, so I jammed 2 days of work into 3.5 days so I could leave on a Thursday and take off and spend my time for this whole weekend. Made a mess of the kitchen for a week. When is this stuff going to be picked up? Soon. It will be. Left at 1 in the afternoon, got up to the parking lot at 5, jumped in, got into the lean 2x7 just before dark. Now, this was September. This wasn't the summer. This was actually September, the weekend of the harvest moon, 16, 17, somewhere in there. And it gets dark in the Dax a little early because you're in the middle of the woods with the mountains here. So once the sun's behind the mountain, it might not be sunset, but it's dark. Hurry up, got myself in there, got my water, sanitized it, hung the bear bag, made myself a little cocoa, got some dessert, and went ahead and went to bed. Harvest moon was really bright that night. Woke up a couple times. Very, very bright. Really nice. Got up early, took off, made my breakfast by headlamp, packed up my stuff, and off I went. And I started up the trail. So, as I mentioned, I had started here, the original plan, started here. I stayed at this lean-to at Scott Clearing. I've started up my way, and here at these ponds, which is hard to see from the back, the trail ends. There's no more trail. This is one of the only, I'll say, recognized mountains that you truly do bushwhack up, because all the others have this little herd path there, and you pretty much can't get lost. So this one's kind of fun, you know, if you think going through shrubbery and getting lost and climbing over stuff is fun, then this one's really fun, and you get to the top. So I get to the end of the trail, and I orient the map, kids, like we just did this morning. Okay, I use my compass, and I see that the mountain's up there, and I turn my map so I know I'm facing the right way. Well, when you're in the middle of the woods and on the side of a mountain, you can't just keep following the compass because you're literally climbing like this, and there's trees, and there's blowdown. So I was doing a little zigzag pattern. I'll go this way for a while, and I'll go this way for all the time, working up, working my way up, because I'd use the map, which tells me which way to go, and I knew I had to end up over here, 270 degrees. And I'm working my way around. Well, didn't I end up on the other side of the col of the saddle? So, and I, the whole time I'm, as you can see, you get through a little clearing. Oh, there it is. Yep, there's the side, and there's the saddle, and there's that. So that's my landmark. Every time I can see, look up, I'm looking for that col because I know I want to end up right on the edge of it and then zip my way up to the peak. Well, I ended up on the wrong side. And this was my third time attempting this figure eight, by the way. The first time, right after I did my 46ers, that October I went up. October's way too late to go to the peaks. Oh, it's nice here in October. It's warm. It's not nice in the peaks. I drove up in the rain, got to Saranac Lake, and there was 2 inches of snow on the ground. There were 6 inches of snow on the ground by the time I got in and started hiking into the lean-to. Again, got there like at 5 o'clock to the lean-to, but thought, well, there's plenty of time for me to get up to the mountain and down the other side. Yeah, there wasn't plenty of time. I got about 3/4 of the way up, following somebody else's trail for a little while, and then it just kind of faded out. And realized that it was really dark, and I was sweating like a racehorse and thought, I better turn around and go back to the ponds and make camp. And turned around, and I didn't get another 10 minutes down, and it was already pitch black, and now I'm shivering from hypothermia like this because I'd been sweating my brains out on the way up. So I, like Jack London in the Jack London to Build a Fire story, was shivering like this trying to make a fire, and then I go get some wood, and by the time I got back, the fire was this tall, and I'd build it up again, and after 2 hours of that, I said, okay, I just got my sleeping bag and covered up and ate some cocoa and went to bed. The next morning, though, on my way back down, I said, I'll just follow my tracks. Well, I don't know how it happened, but if you were to have a satellite view of my footprints, that's what they look like. I spent about 3 hours that morning in the beautiful sun. Beautiful. Next day was just as bright and clean as could be, but I'd spent such a terrible night. It's like, okay, I'm just going to turn around and go home. We'll try this another time. It took me a while to get out. And when I finally got to the ponds, there were two guys there. They were getting ready to go up. I said, don't follow my tracks. Whatever you do, don't follow my tracks. And I'm looking, I see the tracks, and I'm looking at my boot, and I'm looking at the tracks. And, no, that's not my tracks. Yeah, I was the only one up there. They were my tracks. I'd run right over them. So back to the trip. So we're up, I'm here. So this is a little bit bigger map of the area. Here's the mountain that I'm trying to get. I'd managed to get myself way over here, and so now I've got to work my way back up. And as I'm coming to the side, I keep running into these cliffs. And I know that I need to go this way, but there's a big cliff right there. So I go around, I climb a little bit, another cliff. I go around, climb a little bit, I go around. As you can see, I'm getting farther. I want to go this way, and yet I'm ending up over here. Really, really frustrating. Finally, I got to this one cliff, and there was this little tree there, and I just kind of like did a move that I don't think I can replicate right here. And I did manage to make my way up to the summit. We're still on 15. And I got to the top, and at the top, there's an actual herd path, because so many people have gone up and done this. So across the, what we'll call the plateau of the mountain there, we can see there's no lines. There actually is a trail, because people come up from all different angles, but at the very, you all got to work your way to the top, to the peak. So I find the trail. Oh, I'll go, whoo, okay, yeah, this is great, I'm good. We get here, and I see this little trail back to my right, and I'm thinking, oh, that might be what I want later. Keep that in mind, that Y back. That might be what I want later. I'm going. I get all the way to the other side. I can't find the peak. What? The peak is there's going to be a little sign there. And I can't find it. And I know it's there because this is the third trip, this one I'm describing now. On the second trip, I actually made it up to the top and I saw the sign. So I know it's there somewhere. And I get all the way to the end where on the second trip I went down. I go, okay, I recognize this. This is not. Turn around and come back. And I still can't find it. So I sit down and eat my lunch and think, well, I know I'm here. And I've already done it a couple years ago. Take another 10 yards and there's a sign. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, so I'm somewhere here. Find the trip. And now I realize I've already ate and it's time to go because I got to hurry up and get down the other side and continue on with figure eight. So I look at my map again, yep, okay, we got to go this way, and that's what I want to do. So the map is similar to this, and I know where I'm headed is Duck Hole Lean-To over here. This is the intersection of my figure eight. The intention is to have a late afternoon here and continue along this trail to the next lean-to, staying in a lean-to every night. So I want to go, and this map is actually north, south, east, west, so I want to basically go due west, catch this drainage, and work my way down to this trail so I know where I am, and then off. And so I start this way, and I'm headed due west on the top of the mountain. And I know that I can't go off the end of the mountain this way because then I'm headed north. So I know I have to kind of head south and then west and go around. Well, I'm thinking, oh, there was that Y back to the right. I bet you that because the Rangers have gone. I've read reports where the Rangers have gone Y to the right. It's Family Day. We won't say why they were up there and why they had to do that. But so I know if the Rangers go that way, then that must be the way that I want to go. Makes sense. So I'm looking for the Y. I can't find it, of course. Well, I'm in a yank because I got to hurry up and get down. So I just decide, I don't need the map. I'll just go. I'll just do what I want to do. So I head down the south thinking I'll keep going west. So I go down and start going west. Go down, keep going west. Cliff. Okay. Go down, around the cliff. Try to go west a couple steps. No. Around the cliff, down, another cliff. What kept happening? I kept getting cliffed out. Now, this isn't the cliffed out like where Alan says, Cliff, I just can't take it anymore. This is a different kind of cliffed out. So I made a poor decision at the top, obviously. I think that's apparent. I did not go the way that I was supposed to do. I kept getting forced south. Now, I didn't want to go south because right here on this line, you can see that drainage a little lower. That's actually an incredibly steep ravine. I know because on the second trip when I made it up to the top, I intended to go that way, not paying close enough attention to how close the lines were, and I knew that that would be my handrail and I'd be able to find my way down if I just followed the stream down. Well, it got so thick I ended up in the stream, and then there were like 5 and 6 foot steps down because there were boulders and rocks and little waterfalls. I said, well, this isn't working. I got to get back out of here. Fought my way back out of the thing up to the side. So I knew, and then on that trip, stumbled over some logs that were like yay high with the broken pine thing sticking out about 8 inches and jabbed myself in the thigh and thought, I'm out in the middle of nowhere and nobody really knows where I am right now. If I'm to like, you know, hit an artery and go. So I got a little panicky. When I got finally down the trail, I said, yeah, okay, I've had enough. Turn around and left and went back out. Valor is the better choice of wisdom. There's some kind of, is it? I'm like, thank you. Discretion. Yes, that's the one too, discretion. It was a little late in coming, but I did finally use the discretion. So as I'm going down, of course, I'm getting forced the way I don't want to go. I'm looking, I'm seeing breaks, and there's the ravine right there. I'm like, I don't want to be over here. I need to be over there. And every time I look to go due west, there's a cliff, and I can get around the cliff if I want to go back up and around. I don't want to go up. I just busted my butt on the other side going up to get up the mountain. I want to go down the mountain now and get down to the trail. So I did. I just kept going down and down. And finally, I got to a point where, I was cliffed out over and over again. Sorry, forgot that part. And to go west, as I said, would have been the hard way. I didn't want to go up. I wanted to go the easy way. I wanted to just keep going down and do things easy. I don't want to do stuff hard. Why would I do things the hard way? So finally, I got to a spot where I was getting lower and lower, and I literally came out like this stage almost where it was just cliffs all the way around. And again, found a little tree and did a move that I can't replicate here right now and managed to get my way down by the grace of God without doing anything that I shouldn't have done. And then just pushed and bushwhacked my way down and came out to the trail. You're in the thick in the middle of the woods, you know, and all of a sudden there's a footpath and you look up and there's a trail marker. Yay, I've made it. I'm good to go. So made my way out. Yeah, woohoo, yeah. So made my way onto Duck Hole. You know, so I started in the wrong place up top. I didn't take my time, didn't look at the map and see which way am I supposed to go, what decision am I supposed to make, how do I make the right decision? Pay attention to the map of what you're supposed to do. And if not, work your way back to God's will. This thing might be out of order. That's okay. It'll still matter later too. It's never too late. It might be hard work to go back uphill and get your way around, but we can still do that. All right. Oh, you can't see him yet. So erase that picture from your mind. So I got down. So when I get down the bottom, I'm on the easy gravy trail. Yay, I'm down and I'm cruising along now. Well, in the back of my head is my daughter Ruth saying to me, oh, Dad, I want to take Patrick to do a high peak next week, by the way. So make sure you save some time for me because I've got nothing to do on the weekends or anything. So that's fine. And it's the one she wants to go to. She goes, oh, we'll leave Friday night and we'll stay somewhere. Well, if you leave Friday night, you got to end up somewhere where you can camp because I'm a cheapskate. There's no way I'm paying somebody to stay in some place somewhere and I can sleep in the back of my truck or I can stay in a lean-to somewhere. Well, I get out of school at 5 and I'm in Rochester, so we'll be home by 8 and we can get on the road. And it's like, yeah, that's not happening. So, and I get down to the trail and I realize I have a blister. I don't notice it on my way down because I'm fighting, just working my way through, and I get to the trail and I'm walking. I'm like, oh, great, I got a blister. That was from the triathlon the week before. Another story for another time. Maybe next year you schedule me in, we'll talk about triathlon. Okay. It was a short one, not a full Ironman. I'm way too old for that stuff. So I'm like, all right, well, I can't do this figure eight. That is not going to work. I got a blister. I'm not going to kill myself to do that. So I'm like, oh, we could do that mountain next week. So the figure eight is now a circle. Okay, so instead of the way looped it around, we're going to do a circle, and it doesn't matter. Okay, we're going to do a circle now instead of, you all know what a circle looks like, so I don't have to swirl it around up there. So now I'm thinking, okay, I got 3 days worth of food, and now I'm only going to do 2 days, because that other end of the loop was a whole day. Well, so this is my hiking partner, Uncle Tom. He's my Uncle Tom because he's my kid's Uncle Tom. He's my wife's sister's brother, so he's my brother-in-law. He's the one that's completed all the 46 mountains with me. This is what Uncle Tom will say. We'll hike in with all this food and everything. He'll say, you know, if we hike all the way out tonight, I'll buy you a burger on the way home. Like, we, right, yeah, oh, juice, I'm sweating, hot, juicy burger. Oh, that does sound pretty good. And I, every time, I let him convince me to leave, so we huff in all that food, supposed to be 2 pounds per person. I'm a foodie. I do way more than 2 pounds per person per food. So, you know, all extra and extra fuel, because you got to cook all the extra food, and all the extra gear, because you're staying in an extra night. I end up huffing all this, and I said, I am not leaving out early. This is my trip. It's like you hear his voice in my head, I'll make you a burger. No, so I decided, okay, I'm going to stay at the lean-to at Duck Hole. I know the weather's going to be a beautiful day. I'll hang out here. So I get to Duck Hole 1 o'clock or so. I go swimming. I sit and I lay in the sun. I make some food. I do my camp chores, get my water purified, I hang up the bear bag. I build the fire, get it all set, ready to go. And then that night, I light the beacon of Minas Tirith. No, Rohan did not answer, but I still enjoyed it anyway. And so I sleep in the next morning because I know I'm going to hang out, and then I'm just going to go up and get my way there. Oh, wait a minute. How many did I go ahead? Okay. And so I mentioned that was a harvest moon that weekend. So I wake up in the middle of the night, and it is like daylight. I can't believe it because I'm in the middle of the woods. There's no light pollution, and I'm in a huge valley. Duck Hole lays in this big valley. The mountains are way up on the sides, but it's really wide in the middle, and it is so bright. I said, all right, I can't say that I was here in the middle of nowhere on the night of the harvest moon without going out and looking at it. So I go out. Oh, yeah, it's very cool, very cool. Now, I have to say that I love nature, but I don't worship nature. That's Baal, and we won't go there, but, I mean, don't we serve an awesome God? I mean, there's such cool stuff. I go in the Dax, and I love it, and I've never even been out west. I know many of you have been way other cooler places, and I'm just in awe of this earth and universe that God has created for us. So I'm checking out the moon, and I'm looking at it, and I think, wow, you know what? If there was a silhouette on there, that would look exactly like this right here. It's just the way my mind works. So that's all I can. So now, okay, I go back to the lean-to, and all I can think of is da na 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 na. Right, the old Adam West one, because that's, you know, I'm old, so I'm back in. So now I'm humming TV theme songs in my head all night. You know, just sit right back and you hear a tale. I just, you know. So I'm laying in bed. Oh, it's really bright out still. Okay, it's still the middle of night. Now a young man would say, I'll go climb the top of the mountain and hang out. Yeah, I'm past that stuff, so there was none of that going on. So, slept in, because I spent half the night awake thinking about TV theme songs, but knew I didn't have to take right off, because I was going to hang out, and then I was going to go up to the next lean-to and kind of hang out. Well, doesn't the sky turn dark, and the wind starts howling, and I'm like, I don't want to do this, because now you may have noticed, if you were listening to the gear list, there was no tent in the gear list. My intention was to stay in lean-tos every night. But I did have a bivy sack, so if worse came to worse, I could have stayed out if I wanted to. And that next night was supposed to be in a lean-to, or if I really wanted to, get myself a little closer to the bottom of the trailless trail and stay in the bivy sack at the falls, which is really nice because I saw that a couple years ago. Ah, it'd be a nice place to spend the night. But now the wind's howling and blowing, and I'm like, it's going to pour. I don't want to go in the pouring rain and do this. I'm thinking, you know what? This is crazy. I'm just going to go back all the way around, follow the trail. I'll stay in the lean-to I stayed in the night before. I won't go up and over the mountain. I'll just take the trail, which is really the long way around, but it'll be on the trail and it'll be easy, relatively speaking. And I'll dump my stuff in the car Sunday morning, and I'll just go up the regular trail like all the normal people do and go up the mountain and come back down the bottom, and I'll get those done. And then with Ruth, I will go do the other one the next time. So that's the plan. But it's 12 or 14 miles, and now it's 10 o'clock. Like, if you're going to do 14 miles in a day, you leave at 7. You leave so that you're not running all day and going. So now I'm flying, I'm taking off, and I got to hustle because I got 14 miles to go. So you're following the trail markers, very easy. You're walking, the trail's nice and wide. It's a maintained trail. It's actually fairly level there because you saw the ponds. It's next to the pond, so it's on the flat. So I'm, yeah, this is great. I'm in the woods. This is good. Looking down every now and again because you do see bear scat or moose scat, which I did see, and I know it was moose because I saw the tracks afterwards and the undigested mushroom. But so, and I have really weak ankles. Like if I was to trip on a pencil, I'd probably roll my ankle over. So I do spend more time looking down. I see lots of newts and salamanders. And if I want to actually see stuff, I have to stop and look. Oh, yeah, it looks great. Okay. And then back down on my feet again. So I'm following the trail markers. I'm working my way around. I get to the other lake, and I stop and take lunch. And then I know that I'm going to have to go. to this part of the trail right here, which is Wallface Mountain and Indian Pass. Now, this is a very narrow, incredibly steep area. Wallface Mountain is where it's one of the premier mountain climbing places and ice climbing places. It is a huge, steep vertical cliff, and a lot of guys go there and do the climbing. Well, on the other side of the pass, where this trail is, so on the east side here is where the trail is, are huge boulders. Boulders as big as a truck or bigger. So I'm walking along the trail. Starts getting steeper. I've ate my lunch. I've kind of geared up, ate some good foods, going to keep me going. And I'm climbing over stuff. And, of course, I'm looking down all the time because I'm a little weak trying to girl ankles. So I got to make sure that I'm not going to twist and hurt myself. And I'm looking along, and I'm looking out. There's a trail. There's a trail. Well, you know what I'm not doing? I'm like a deer in the woods. Kevin, what's a deer in the woods not do? Right. Doesn't run. He doesn't. Usually deer in the woods doesn't look up, right? Deer don't look up. So I'm not looking up. So I'm not seeing the trail signs. Right. Yeah. And I get somewhere, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Look up. Wait, what's trail signs? Look behind me, because they're on both, they're both directions. So if you're walking this way, you'll see a sign. And if you're walking this way, you're going to see a sign. And I turn around behind me, no trail sign. Oh, backtrack, follow my way back down. Yeah, there it is. Okay. Go the other way, because what will happen if you're going downhill, well, the water's running down the trail. You got a creek or whatever, but the trails become streams. More people walking them, or rode them, and the trail becomes a stream. So you're walking down the trail, and the trail goes this way if you're not looking up, and you get to the bottom, and go, oh, there's a big pile of leaves and sticks and mud, and you followed the drainage instead of the trail. So you need to look up and follow trail signs, which I didn't do. So I'm looking off now and again, and I'm looking, and it's finally starting to pay a little bit more attention, but I'm still going, well, this will be easier to climb. Well, look at that huge boulder. I don't want to go that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to follow the boulder. So I'm missing the markers. I'm not looking up all the time, which is a mistake. And as I said, I mean, there were boulders as big as a Suburban out there. I tried to get a couple out of the way. They wouldn't budge. So here are the cliff. This is Wallface Cliffs. And so this is a view from the other side of the ravine. Now, I could see a couple people over there climbing, and I'm hearing, woo-hoo-hoo, you know, they're having a great time, and I'm thinking, I'm going to holler to them, woo. And I thought, ooh, they could maybe fall, and then I'd have to slink away. So I didn't do any woo-hooing to them or anything. I thought that might not be good to do. But I'm near the peak. By the time I'm here, I'm near the top of the pass, and then you go back down the other side, and you're back on the flat on the other side. Again, I'm trying to pick my way and not looking up, and I'm missing the trail. Every time I'm not looking up, not following the instructions so that I go the way that I'm supposed to go. So finally I get through the pass. I make Rocky Falls Lean. I get to the lean-to where I was the night before and decide that, well, I'm going to keep going another 2 miles. It's threatening rain. It's almost dark. I get there. Definitely the right choice. Poured all night. Next morning, go ahead, get to the car, drop the pack, go up, do the other thing. I get to the top of the other mountain, and I look. Well, see, I would have came up over there. It is just as thick as can be. I'm so glad that I came up the normal way. It didn't go the other way. Psalm 6:1. You know the path of my life. You fill me with your joy and your presence. Teach me your way. Lead me in a straight path, O Lord. Did that work? I will run to the path of your commands. Stern discipline, you can read it from there. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path, and he who hates correction will die. Fortunately, I didn't die. I did self-correct. I didn't have to get corrected by the Lord. Stern discipline awaits those, we just said that one. Whoever strays from the path comes to rest in the company of the dead. So, the whole point of the story was not me in the mountains. It was that you must start in the right place. No matter where you are in life, start with the right place. How do we find that? We look in God's word, the map, the blueprint for our life. Make the right decision. Again, God's word. If not, work your way back to God's will. Sometimes we don't, maybe we don't hear right, or we think we know what we're supposed to happen, and it doesn't. And a lot of times, it's hard to get back. And it's so easy in life to just choose the easy way. But I would urge you to choose the hard way and work your way back if you realize you're lost. Now, God revealed this to me. This was all for me. Maybe this meant something to you. Maybe it's just a great story and you go home and laugh to eat. Let's pray. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not done. We pray after. Okay, so in the end of the story is that, yes, I did the two, and the following week I made the other mountain and did my 46, and Pat and Butter did their very first 46 mountain. Yay! Woohoo! Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. And Father, we thank you for the word that you reveal to us, your word in your Bible that just guides our life, guides our footprints. It's a light into our path for our feet, Lord. We pray that that you would just show us that way. It would be made clear to us, as clear as those red trail markers, Lord, which way we should go and how we serve you and what we do. And it's your son's name we pray this. Amen.